Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Scooby-Doo and Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
It's nuts!
A team-up between all the world's greatest detectives.
Yeah. I mean, this... Because that's the thing is... I have no experience of Batman the Brave and the Bold. I know that it's aimed at a younger audience than a lot of Batman
I know people is. Love it. I also don't know anything about it, but I think I would like it.
Oh no, absolutely. I'm kind of wanting to go and watch it now.
Based on this, yeah.
Yeah, the film opens with a cold opening of Mystery Inc. investigating a series of thefts carried out by a puppeteer and his puppet.
Yeah.
And it later turns out that they capture the thieves with the help of Batman. And it is revealed that it is Martian Manhunter and Detective Chimp.
Yeah, which is great.
And that this was actually a test set for them by Batman.
I mean, bless him, because he wants to see if they're worthy of joining. And they clearly are.
Yeah, absolutely. And whilst they leave, we find out that everyone is being watched by a red ghost. So, we then cut to Batman teaming up with Aquaman and the Question to defeat the Riddler, Catwoman, and Killer Croc.
Yeah.
After which Question and Batman say, well, we need to go to our super secret detective meeting that we're just going to talk about in front of Aquaman.
I mean, it's nice to see people like the Question and sort of out there.
Absolutely.
We don't get to see him much. No, we don't see Aquaman much, to be honest. So
it's Jeffrey Combs playing the Question, who I don't think is who plays the Question in the original TV series, but he's played the Question in the Timverse.
Right.
Which is where a lot of my generation would have seen him first. So, it turns out that, because at first I was just like, oh, this is just a scene to introduce his characters. It turns out to be a lot more important later.
Yeah, very important.
Aquaman is left to clean up. And meanwhile, the Mystery Inc. is on their way to the meeting as well. Velma has managed to narrow down the suspects of Batman's identity to 6,000 people.
That's quite a lot.
I mean, I think she says at some point that there's 10 million people live in Gotham.
Wow. A lot.
I mean, that's more than twice the population of Scotland.
I was going to say, it's over the population of London, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember London's population, but it seems that would be bigger than London's.
Absolutely. So, also, I do like in this film, Daphne is shown to actually be quite intelligent, because...
Yeah.
I don't know if this... that's another thing, is I'm kind of behind on Scooby-Doo. The only stuff I've really seen was the two live-action movies and the stuff from, like, the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what I've watched and what I haven't. I'd say, like, she's generally not shown as being super... But none of them are shown as being, like... They're all intelligent in their own way, or they wouldn't be part of Mystery Inc.
Absolutely. I also didn't realise, when I just mentioned the live-action movie, Matthew Lillard is actually voicing Shaggy in this as well.
Bless him. Very nice man.
I mean, it's an awesome cast. It's
So
Frank Weller, Gray Griffin, Matthew Lillard, and Kate Micucci are playing Mystery Inc. Frank Weller historically played Fred Jones, and he's been voicing Scooby-Doo for something like 20 years as well. I know he wasn't the original voice actor, but he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
It's Diedrich Bader as Batman, who... He's one of those names that's kind of shown up now and again.
Oh, I think I know who that is.
He showed up in a couple of the movies that we've done.
Yeah, no, I meant like if I actually know him aside from knowing his voice. And I think the answer to that is no.
Anyway, getting into the... So, after we get introduced to the entire team, including finding out that Martian Manhunter is a cookie thief.
Yeah, that's one of the famous things about him, though, isn't it? But I always thought it was Oreos, but I guess they can't use a brand name.
Yeah, copyright.
So, so Chockies. But no, that's one of the only things I knew about Martian Manhunter going into this, was that he's addicted to Oreos. That is clearly from something that has seeped into my brain from popular culture.
And then we have to get our creep culture in, because Freddy's really creepy with Black Canary.
Really, yeah. Well, he's just kind of like totally besotted, but in a kind of creepy way.
And
I mean, it's not like he touches her inappropriately, kind of creepy, but
yeah.
Watches her sleeping, but you know.
As I said, Plastic Man in general is just a bit...
Plastic Man is super creepy, and I believe is generally always super creepy, so...
Yeah. So the party all meet, and they want Mystery Inc. to lead an investigation to one of the unsolved cases, because every single detective has an unsolved case file.
Yes, every single one of them.
The Batman only has one.
Yes.
Though it's weird, because it's not actually an unsolved case, I think.
No, it's kind of... It's a weird definition of unsolved.
Speaking of weird definitions, we get to see John DiMaggio doing a Poirot impression.
Yeah.
As Aquaman breaks in, dressed up like Poirot. It's quite sweet, and it gets Aquaman on the team. Mm. There is then a report of a break-in at a chemical storage warehouse. And when the team arrives, Batman starts to hear voices.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
We also find out that apparently... a certain character doesn't show up as a living being.
Dun, dun, dun. This is why you need Mystery Inc. involved, because they have much more expertise in ghosts who aren't really ghosts.
Yeah. It also turns out that the alarm was tripped deliberately. The person actually knew what they were doing when they activated it. So the team gets split up into pairs or trios in the most creepy way they could get away with. I also noticed they mention that, I don't know if this is a thing from the TV series, that Aquaman mentions to Batman, oh, did you lose another Robin?
Yeah, I thought that was very funny.
Because I do know that a load of the Robins show up.
Well, they show the outfits, don't they?
Well, they show the outfits I know Damien shows up at some point, and
right.
But anyway, they also find that a chemical called Isotope 29, which we never explained what it actually is.
Well, it keeps it mysterious.
But it is some sort of mysterious compound that it turns out is important in activating a teleportation device.
Yeah.
Also, Plastic Man decides it's a good idea when he knows he has problems with his powers in cold conditions. He thinks it's a good idea to go into a freezer.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So he's not really a creep, he's
clearly
a stupid
the Boris
creep.
Johnson of the.
Oh, no, come on. I mean, I know he's creeping stupid, but let's that's unfair to Plastic Man. Come on.
He's really creepy in this. He turns himself into a chair so Daphne will sit on him.
The more I think about it, the worse that becomes.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, fair enough, Boris is worse.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that, Boris is worse.
And also, Plastic... That we have the one advantage that Plastic Man is not actually real.
Yeah.
And can't hurt you. So, Batman still keeps hearing voices.
Yeah.
When the Crimson Cloak appears, who is our villain for this film.
It's a good name.
It's a good name.
I mean, it's very descriptive.
And this is an original character for this film.
Well, that works, and I think they've done a fairly decent job of doing like a Batman-y, a kind of Gotham villain, but also one that like Mystery Inc. will be good against.
Absolutely, and when we find out who the Crimson Cloak actually is as well.
Yeah.
So, the factory starts to spontaneously explode. And Plastic Man saves the woman by turning into a giant ball.
Yeah. Which is funny. That made me laugh, yeah. Actually, when it started happening. I was like, what? Okay, alright, big ball.
And as the teams separate, we then have Mystery Inc. confronted by Harvey Bullock, who says, your vehicle was seen at the scene of the theft, which...
Strictly true.
Batman then comes in and vouches for Mystery Inc. And... Oh, I forgot this. This is at a milkshake parlor for some reason.
Because why not?
And Batman decides to spill his guts about his one unsolved case.
Yes, he decides to tell them all about it.
So he confronts a villain called Professor Milo. This is right at the start of his career, to the point where he's wearing the original first Batman suit.
Yeah, which is nice to see.
I do love that, and I get the impression this is kind of an ongoing thing, the Batman brain mold kind of combines lots of different eras and aspects.
Mm.
So they've got stuff like, a lot of the styling is kind of similar to the Adam West.
Yeah. But it's definitely separate from that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also got stuff that refers to the animated series. I mean, Arthur
it's light-hearted, but in different ways. So like that it felt like very much its own thing.
Absolutely, it's always like it's taking various bits from various Batman and put them together.
But in a way that doesn't feel like
it feels like it works internally.
Like I feel like I could go watch Brave and the Bold now and know what I was gonna get into.
So whilst Batman was confronting Professor Milo, Professor Milo is an established character from the comic books.
Okay.
However, two of Milo's assistants are then drawn into... Also, I do actually think Professor Milo and Leo Scarlet are both played by the same actor, which is Sam Riegel.
Oh, cool. I mean, there's some interesting double-ups I saw in the cast list. It was like, it gives them a good workout for their actual, for voice acting.
because I know Sam Riegel was actually the voice director in this.
He did a really good job.
Yeah. Who certainly probably... yeah, and he voices Professor Mile and Leo Scarlet in this scene specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So he manages to save one of the two assistants, who at first I thought the name was a reference to Will Magnus.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it could have been,
because I think it was like Will Magnum or something like that. But the other assistant, Leo Scarlet, falls into a giant portal. So it's some sort of interdimensional portal or void. They've never explained exactly what it is, but it's a sky beam. Let's call it what it is. It's an equivalent of a giant blue sky beam. Daphne, who is already shown to be really good at anagrams, points out that is it Wade Magni or something like that? It's an anagram of Edward Nigma.
Da, da, da. I mean, like, really, Batman should have every anagram of Edward Nigma tattooed in his brain.
Yes.
Because, you know, that happens.
I mean, to be fair, with that many letters, it would be thousands.
Yeah. But, that's true. But I have faith in Batman.
So... Batman and Mystery go to Arkham Asylum,
mm-hmm.
which has all the villains in their... I still don't get how this is a thing. How they let the villains into Arkham Asylum cells with their costumes on.
Yeah.
So, the main characters confront Riddler, who just proceeds to taunt Batman a lot. I go, it took you this long to figure out? Ha ha ha!
Yeah.
And...
But he does get there.
And also, yes, we buried part of the lab coat that was left from Leo Scarlet. In Arkham.
As you do.
Apparently in a massive crypt as well. Meanwhile, Shaggy and Scooby find the cafeteria, where for some reason all the food is named after famous criminals.
Right, yeah, but like our world criminals, which is that's well,
what's... Hannibal's not our world.
No, but like it's also not Gotham.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's like a little bit. I mean, like, oh, is Hannibal in Gotham? I mean, like. It was a little bit weird, but I laughed.
That is the
but
crossover
like,
I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, it's just like, it was funny, but and it was genuinely funny and sweet, but you do that kind of double take of like, do all these things exist in this world, you know? But I appreciate that Shaggy and Scooby got their food moment that they get in all the Scooby-Doo cartoons.
Absolutely. So. And
yeah.
Yeah, so, and again, I do like it as well, as it's one of those, oh, this is probably one of the few times I go, oh, okay, that's a gag for adults, okay, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, we know that the kids have dragged you in to watch this, but hey, because this actually did get a cinema premiere at the Chinese Theatre.
Oh, did it? I mean, it's sweet, yeah.
Yeah, because this is our first 2018 film.
Oh, is it? Hooray for us. We're finally at 2018.
Yeah, we've got less than 5 years to come.
And they're still announcing new animated movies.
Well, actually, I don't think they've announced any since...
Yeah, they did. RWBY times Justice League, I think, is it?
That I haven't heard.
Film DC. Let me have a quick look. RWBY Justice League crossover movie confirmed.
Okay, that was confirmed 20 hours ago. To be fair.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's no criticism of you implied. That was just why it was on my head of, and they keep announcing them. It really.
Yeah.
Wasn't, it's like I caught it in passing as I was on the train yesterday. So.
Okay. What's RWBY?
I don't know. Shall I find out? An American animated series.
Okay.
I actually thought it was manga, but apparently it's not. It's a
Oh, it's American imitation manga.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I mean, it could, look, as with this, it could be okay.
We'll find out in a year's time.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll be less. It will be over a year. So, Crimson Cloak then randomly appears again. And I do like as well, once you know who Crimson Cloak actually is a lot of his powers make a lot more sense.
Though
one thing he does do is he cuts the power in the asylum, which apparently Arkham Asylum's only locks are electronically operated.
I mean, it seems like not sensible.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like the thing you should do if you're Arkham Asylum. Like, you should have, like, as old-fashioned a system as possible and possibly some double blinds.
Absolutely. So, we get a scene where Shaggy and Scooby are surrounded by villains, including we have to get Harley Quinn monologue in for some reason.
Yeah.
Anything that gives Tara Strong work, I suppose. I think she actually voices Poison Ivy as well, so is she talking to herself?
That's pretty
cool. Yeah, she is. Just had a look here. Yeah, she's voicing both of them, so Tara Strong has one scene in this movie. And also, Two-Face looks like the Two-Face we got in Batman and Two-Face.
Yeah.
Which I do like. Because it reminds me of that movie, and that movie makes me happy.
Yeah, that was good. That was another surprisingly good one.
So, we then get a food fight where Shaggy and Scooby are able to escape by eating their way out. And then the traditional Scooby-Doo chase scene.
Yeah. Which is great. It works really well. Like, they've literally done it, so it works really well. I love Batman sitting in the back of the car.
Uh-huh.
So cute.
I also love the fact that throughout... not meaning the disappear across the screen one chase, not the driving chase.
Yeah. The other one. Yeah,
there's multiple. There's like three chase scenes in a row.
It's a very long chase scene.
I also love that Batman is slowly picking off each villain over the course of the chase scene.
Yeah.
Till after welding the inmates into the asylum.
Yeah.
Because that's not problematic at all.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's so weird. Just the whole thing that happens there.
So they then look at the... So Riddler has written a question mark on the crypt that... And it's a big crypt for a scrap of lab coat.
It is. I mean, he likes his space.
We also find out that Batman is apparently able to get the most out of Scooby because he gets Scooby to work as a sniffer dog.
Well, I mean, which is... exactly the way to do it. I mean, you have a dog there, why not?
So they find some, well, they think it's mud, it's probably more accurate to describe it as clay.
Mm-hmm.
With a footprint in it. So they grab that only to find Bullock in the Mystery Ink van.
Yeah,
because he has proof that Mystery Ink stole the isotope because it's in the van.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So there's a chase scene as the rest of the heroes chase Mystery Ink.
Yeah, with Batman. Or just before that as well, still.
And, yeah, So we get another chase scene with the party then going to No Man's Land, which I take it is a reference to the comic book.
I'm guessing. I'm not big on the DC lore. It could well be.
So the party then get trapped by Bane and A&R Big Guy, who Scooby and Shaggy managed to get away with using mustard and relish. Also, I skipped over the part where at this whole point Scooby-Doo is driving the car.
Look, he's multi-talented. What can we say?
So, the Mystery Machine then drives into the wall of a villain bar. Which means after being chased by heroes, they're now getting chased by two sets of villains with Joker and the Penguin. Which results in the Mystery Inc. having to jump from the Mystery Inc. van to the Batmobile whilst both are moving and Batman fights villains on top of the Mystery Machine.
It's amazing.
And that is as awesome as it sounds.
It really is as awesome as it sounds.
So, once they're into the Batmobile, Martian Manhunter and Plastic Man try to stop them. Batman, at first, is threatened that he's going to set Martian Manhunter on fire, and instead he throws cookies at him.
Yeah, which is, to be fair, a very valid way to deal with him.
And then Batman... Plastic Man tries to get Batman hit by a train.
Just see, Plastic Man, not a good guy.
But our heroes get away, and the remaining heroes spot the villains and go, okay, let's have a fight.
Because why not?
Also, I notice Aquaman has completely disappeared at this point.
Yeah, he's a bit in and out. Let's put it that way.
So, after that, Mystery Inc. get taken to the Batcave, where
that's really sweet. Actually, I enjoyed that because they're so excited to be there, and like, who wouldn't be?
And also, I love that they have various bat suits and bat sidekick suits. Approximately the same number of them, and the dog suit that matches the number of Mystery Inc. members. I wonder what they're trying to set up.
I wonder.
Also, I noticed at one point Batman goes, oh no, they're all ex-sidekicks.
Yes. Ex-sidekicks. Bless them.
So, meanwhile, we go, oh yeah, we've got a mystery to solve. So they show Shaggy stealing the mystery compound. Though Velma realizes it's not actually Shaggy, because one, Shaggy's been with them the whole time, and two, he ignored donuts.
Seems unlikely.
Also, we find out at this point that Batman has a dehydrator. So he can eat a whole meal in, like, a pill. And this is important because it comes a huge plot point.
It does, yeah.
So, Batman leaves to fight, to investigate the site of Leo Scarlet's disappearance. Whilst he says, Mystery Inc., no, you need to stay back because I work alone. That's not actually why, but that's the reason why.
Yeah.
I do like as well that he never gives away that he's Bruce Wayne.
In fact,
if you watch this, you actually could watch this and have no idea that Batman's Bruce Wayne.
No, even at the end.
Velma gets to use the Batlab.
Yeah.
So, when Batman actually arrives at the lab, Aquaman shows up and offers to help. As does the Question.
Yeah.
though Aquaman is able to notice that Question is acting weird.
Might become important later.
I do like that it does set up mysteries that it pays off.
Yeah, I agree.
So they find the remade teleporter machine.
Yeah.
But Aquaman and the Bat are very easily beaten, and looks like Question is buried alive.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the clay that the Mr. Ink was investigating attacks them.
Da, da, da. They get attacked a lot.
Yep. And they're able to successfully defeat the sentient mud with the dehydrator, at which point they realise that the Crimson Cloak is Clayface!
Da, 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 which is actually pretty cool.
It's actually pretty cool, and it explains everything, and yeah. Meanwhile, Batman's possibly beginning to figure out as well, because Crimson Cloak is struggling to keep his form.
Mm-hmm.
However, just as Crimson Cloak is about to switch on the teleporter, Mystery Ink appears wearing the Sidekicks outfit.
Which is cute, they all fit in them all. Although Shaggy gets Nightwing, which, you know, I have thoughts about, but it's funny, so.
Yeah. So Crimson Cloak splits him off into himself off into multiple Bat-villains.
Mm-hmm.
And we get another chase scene with eventually Mystery Ink defeating Clayface with the dehydrator.
Yeah.
So the police then arrive, because the reaction time is garbage. And they take it completely on face value that Clayface is behind it all.
Yeah, I mean, they've presented with a solution, and it does seem a likely one until you know.
And Clayface then goes, well, I've picked up a bacterial infection, and in order to get the cure, I was hired to do this.
Yeah.
Because it turns out the villain behind it all is actually Riddler!
Da, da, da.
And the Riddler in Arkham Asylum isn't Riddler!
Yeah. Da, da, da. And it's quite good because, of course, they're playing on the fact that the Question has a mask, doesn't have a face anyway, so.
Because the Question is secretly the Riddler!
Yeah.
We're running out of da-da-das. So, when the Question was knocked out earlier in the fight, it was Riddler who then took his place.
Yeah.
And it was Aquaman that tipped Batman off.
So there was a purpose for him being there.
Absolutely. Also, that Mr. Ink is going, no, I'm doing the mask reveals as our thing.
Mm.
Only for Riddler to get away to reactivate the machine.
Yeah.
Question manages to knock out Riddler. And whilst this is all happening and the goons are fighting the heroes, Batman keeps hearing the voice and he sees a man in the portal as it's been reactivated.
Yeah, yeah.
And Scooby-Doo and Batman team up to save Leo Scarlet, whilst Velma leads the team in fixing the portal. And
I mean, you just have to think about that again. Batman teams up with Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
It's just, there's something beautiful about it.
And Batman figures out the reason that he could hear a voice all the whole time is when he's around the isotope, he could hear Leo Scarlet calling out to him through the portal.
Yeah. And he could hear it all along, but it took Scooby to help him find that out.
So, that's the end of the film. Batman says goodbye to Mystery Ink, and they say, we know who you are! You're a big softy.
Yeah, which is very funny, because you think they're going to say who he is.
Yeah. So this is the only Batman, the Brave and the Bold episode film we're doing.
It's kind of a shame because I actually did enjoy it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I enjoyed plenty of the others as well, but there was something about like it doesn't seem like it should work, but the sense of humour and the mystery is a kind of same level as Scooby-Doo, so it kind of works.
It's also the only Scooby-Doo film we do.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
Though,
as much as the only Brave and the Bold one that we do. So.
Though I've just looked and seen, wait a minute, there is an actual pretend... Okay, I know what podcast I'm doing when this finishes up.
What's that? All the Scooby-Doo films. No, don't. Four, don't.
There are 35 Scooby-Doo director video films.
Okay, well, I'm not doing that.
Oh, no, I'm not asking you to do it, but... Oh, no, that... Okay, Alan's doing a Scooby-Doo podcast.
Enjoy. Enjoy.
Oh, dear. This was
no,
a
I like Scooby-Doo,
idea.
But, like, I'll probably once we get to the end of DCAU, I'll be,
yeah.
Take the break, you know?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, fair enough.
I do enough other podcasts, so like.
Speaking of other podcasts, what other podcasts have you been in recently?
We did Iron Fist's latest issue on Immortal Iron Fist Sons of the Dragon, so that was Iron Fist 4, and I may have done a Moon Knight one as well. I think I've done the Moon Knight one, so Into the Night, but not as many as we were doing, just on the latest Moon Knight issue.
Well, to be fair, Into the Night was doing two episodes a week for a period.
Yeah. It was a lot. And we still got two Moon Knight runs kind of going at the same time, so it's still a little bit more than normal.
Yeah.
How are your robots doing?
Yeah, good. So, it's actually next week we'll finish recording Robot Wars Revisited, and we'll get on to our next series, which is Robotica, which...
Okay.
...is basically... a robot assault course program.
Oh, see, that one sounds quite fun. Should I guest on that one?
Please, feel free. Yeah, you shouldn't have said that. Because, the one thing I will mention, it is the most over-the-top presenters.
Oh, nice.
It's nuts. Meanwhile, we still have a few episodes to go.
Yeah, what's coming up next for DC?
So coming up next is Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, yeah.
Which I believe Connor's volunteered to guest on. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, which is set in the DC animated movie universe. And I have a lot of time for.
Cool.
Not that that's necessarily a great endorsement.
We'll see. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Lego DC Comics Superheroes The Flash.
Okay.
Which is the only Flash movie we're doing where Flashpoint is not a part of it.
Oh, that's fun.
Freedom Fighters The Ray, which is another one of these
web
series molded together to make a TV series somehow. And oh no,
what's next? God.
Batman Ninja. Interestingly, Batman Ninja, because I've got quite a few friends who are anime fans. It's the one film I've had behind. It was Killing Joke and then Batman Ninja.
I thought I'd heard good things about Batman Ninja. Am I wrong? Is it like awful?
It's
one way or the other. Like,
I get the impression it's one of these movies you either really, really love, or really, really hate.
Nice.
I know which side I'm on.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I've not seen it, so it should be quite interesting.
I can actually pinpoint the exact moment in the film where I go, no, this is not for me. This is really, really not for me.
So this will be fun. So hopefully I like it and then we can fight about it. But otherwise, who knows?
Yeah, I actually do hope. That would be nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what's coming up, the next five movies. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah, I don't think I read it a long time ago, so it'll be quite fun because I don't remember anything about it.
Well, the only two things it shares in common are steampunk Batman and Jack the Ripper's the villain.
Okay, fair enough. That makes sense all round.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.